This is sort of a prelude to Sermon on the Mount. We're going to do Sermon on the Mount. So a little bit prep this week. Next week, I know some people said, you're going to preach through the genealogy of Matthew 1. I said, yes, I'm preaching through the genealogy of Matthew 1. It's going to be fun. And then the following week at the barbecue day, we're going to talk another bit of prep of Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to read through the Sermon on the Mount in 2 weeks. And some of the young people will be helping with that. And then the following week, we'll jump in. And as I've been thinking about that and about Freedom Session, it feels like there's an element in both of those that there's spiritual warfare in both. And I thought this morning would be good to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. Because for those of you who are taking Freedom Session, and you know, really like pray about it. If that's what God wants you to do this fall, great. And if not, that's fine too. But the enemy does not want us to become more free spiritually or emotionally healthy. And when we think about the Sermon on the Mount, I'm anticipating, like I haven't actually done an in-depth study, so I'm anticipating that it's going to pack a bit of a punch for us, because it's an intense, right, the Sermon on the Mount. And in a sense, the enemy does not want us to grow in maturity, and he doesn't want us to walk closer to Jesus. And so it feels like, in a sense, part of this fall is that call to become more free, more mature. And so the enemy of our souls would not want us to do that. So as we start talking about that, let's start with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even as we were singing this morning, Lord, that we raise a hallelujah that you are above all. You've already won the victory. You are the King. You are the one that sets us free. You're the one that calls us to walk holy and righteous, and you're the one that enables us to do that. We acknowledge that all that we do that is good is because of you, Jesus. When we are set free, it's because of you, Jesus. It's not by our own efforts, but it's because of you, and we acknowledge that, Lord. And so, Jesus, this morning, as we go into the fall, we pray, Lord, that you would grant us the strength, Lord. You would grant us the presence of your Holy Spirit to walk according to your ways, Jesus, even when the enemy would come against us or the flesh or whatever it may be, that Jesus, you, the one who sets free, would come in a greater way, Lord. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we talk about this, we talk about like these, that there's real spiritual forces in this world that are evil. But, you know, some people, depending on who you talk to, would kind of say these are, well, yeah, there's kind of evil here, or is there? Is evil even real? Some people would say that. And it's kind of like this undefined kind of force somewhere out there. But for us, as followers of Jesus, evil is not an undefined force, but actual beings that we call demons. And I think for us in the Western world, sometimes, even as Christians, maybe it's hard to believe. I think I didn't do the research, but there's some stats about some people who say they're Christians, but they don't really believe in demons. In some nations, it feels very, very obvious. The spiritual realm and spiritual warfare, it's very much part of daily life in some parts of the world. Whereas for us, it seems it's a little bit more hidden. Some of us, we have a friend that is able to come from time to time, Chris Mukwave from Zambia. So he studied at Regent. He was a part of the church here, and he's come back several times to preach. His wife has preached here as well. And one time, I remember this, he said something along these lines. He says, the difference between demons here and in Africa is that the demons here went to university. It's actually the only thing I remember he ever said. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it stuck with me. But so in some senses, the attacks, not always, but here, they can look more covert, right? And the enemy here, really, one of the things he wants to do is to make you think that what's happening to you right now is just you, right? It's just you thinking about this or acting like this. And so he kind of wants to stay hidden. There's been a few times where I'm like facing something or going through something, and I'll literally ask, this is maybe a good practice. It's like, Lord, am I under attack right now? And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you're under attack. Oh, okay, that's helpful, right? Because sometimes it's hard to discern because a lot of it happens in our mind. C.S. Lewis, here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall into about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So those are like a couple of the extremes, and I think that's accurate, right? So the one would be that we would be tempted to completely ignore the enemy because we don't believe in him, or even practically that we just ignore. And the other one would be to see a demon under every rock, that anything that happens is it's the enemy, right? So there's kind of those unhealthy extremes, or we're always like, you know, obsessed with the spiritual realm in demons and angels and all that stuff. And there needs to be a caution there. But the Bible does teach us this, if we can put up the first slide. It says in 2 Corinthians 2, 9 to 11, we're going to read lots of different passages in scripture today. It won't be comprehensive. I had somebody said to me, are we doing a series on spiritual warfare? I said, no, this is more of a reminder, a little primer for us. But it wouldn't be a bad idea at some point to do that. But I'll defer that to someone else. So in these verses it says, another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes, right? So that's one of the first things, is we are called in the scripture not to be ignorant and unaware of his schemes. We need to have some level of understanding of how he operates in order to be able to recognize how he's influencing us. So if we think of this, like really, if you want to think of this, we use the term spiritual warfare. If we want to think of this, right, if you're in a literal war, you want to have some idea what the enemy is going to do so that you know how to respond. So it's the same for us, is that there's this element that we are in spiritual warfare and we need to understand some of the tactics. Let's talk a little bit of what he does, right? This next verse, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, these are the words of Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the word here for thief, most of you will know it, is kleptor. Kleptor. That's where we get the word klepto, kleptomaniac, stealing. And the enemy does three things in this passage, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. So we're gonna do a little bit of interaction today. So I'm gonna ask some questions, and you can throw some things out. I will repeat them so for the people online so they can hear that. What are some areas the enemy wants to steal?
Joy.
Good.
Peace.
Excellent. Those are the first two I have in that order, by the way. Joy, peace. Very good. Very good.
Life.
So I missed that. Say again.
Life.
Excellent.
Faith.
Good one. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, I missed that one.
Time.
Okay. That's a good one. I didn't have that one. That's a good one.
Purpose.
Excellent. Yes. Open hearts. See, Simon works in a school. He actually raised his hand. So you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I love it. I love it, Simon. Anyone else?
Relationships.
Steal relationships. That's a good one. Anyone else?
Understanding.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. Anyone else?
Health.
Good. Excellent.
Revelation.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to touch on that a little later. Beautiful. That's right. So I mean, there's so many. Those are great. Like fruit of the Spirit. We're praying about this before. Unity. Had health as well. Finances, right? Finances. Okay, but kill, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. This is like, if you want to give a job description to the enemy, this is like, you know, in a verse, here you got it. You've got a job description of the enemy, of what he is going to try to do to us. Kill. So kill can literally be kill. But it also has some other kind of nuances to it. It actually also means the word, I'm going to say it right, immolate, which is like fire. and also has something to do with sacrifice. And so if the enemy can try to get us to sacrifice to something other than God, he's glad. He's glad if he can do that, right? Whether it is like some of the things we just said, sacrifice our time to things that are not from God or various things. The third one, destroy, also can mean, you know, perish, but it can also mean to lose, which is really what's interesting. If you look up this word, it's the same word that Jesus used when he talks about lost sheep. Same word, destroy and lost, same word. Isn't that interesting? And so part of what the enemy wants to do is wants to wreck your life and leave you in shambles, right? If one of the things is like wherever you're at in terms of can you lose your salvation or whatever, I won't go there, but at the very least, he would want us to make us ineffective. Make us ineffective that, okay, fine, you're saved, but you're going to be ineffective. And so how does he do that? He'll try to leave your life in shambles. And in that word with destroy is lost. You know, think of that if you're lost. Think of that lost sheep, or think of yourself being lost in the woods, alone, wandering, isolated. Isolation, this is important. Isolation is one of the huge tactics of the enemy. If he can get you alone, you know, sometimes people say, do I need to go to church to be a Christian? And I say, well, no. However, being alone as a Christian, you just open yourself up. This is part of why we need to be in community, right? Be in community, not just to ward off the attack of the enemy, but it is one thing. And remember, the enemy has all kinds of titles. Another one would be, he's a liar, right? So the enemy doesn't play fair. There's kind of like not really rules of engagement, right? And the enemy doesn't take holidays, including when you're on holiday. Anybody been on holiday and it's like kind of come under sort of some sort of spiritual attack? Has anybody ever experienced that? So, or, you know, oh, that's good. Maybe God protected you and allowed you to have the holiday and no attack, but it happens sometimes. And he's been given a certain amount of time, right? There are limitations. We'll touch on that a little bit later. There's another slide for this one, but 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Revelation 12:12 also says, "He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Right? But what does God have for us? He has the opposite, right? That you may have life, verse John 10:10, and have it to the full. Some versions say it's abundance, abundantly. And as we've talked a little bit about Freedom Session, and when Ken was here, I think he quoted this verse, and that this is what God wants for us, the abundant life. He wants us to live abundantly. However that looks, and it looks different at different times in our life, because there's no doubt we go through difficulties in life, right? So I wanted to touch, it's a little bit broader, on spiritual conflict. So if you want to put up the next, that's the next two slides. It's a quote, I will mention the book, I'll show you the book after. I thought this was kind of a helpful summation of spiritual conflict, so I'll read it. "Spiritual conflict is actually an attack from three fronts in two areas, doctrine and experience. The basis of our thinking and the reality of our experiences are continually under assault. Spiritual warfare is as much an intellectual, spiritual fight as it is a feeling, emotional, experiential fight. Both of these areas of vulnerability must be guarded in order to ensure victories. For example, the intellectual or thinking area, 1 Timothy 4:1, warns that there will be evil spirits teaching demonic doctrine. That means there are demonic beings manipulating and directing and the influence of evil philosophies that may affect millions of people. There are worldviews dominant in many places and over many lives that are actually demonic. To summarize, you always have the world and its ungodly system, the flesh expressed in individual or corporate wrestling with sin, and its internal and external manifestations, and then the kingdom of darkness, adding its own push to destroy all that God has made. That, right? That's the push at the end, right? Destroy all that God has made. That's what the enemy wants to do. Destroy everything that God has made. That's from John Thompson's book, Deliverance. Who's got this book? I know a couple of you. Yes? Okay. Only you? I thought a couple more people bought it. So some of you went to a conference with him, correct? I did not have a chance to go. It was good, right? Yeah, it was very good. So this is a very solid book on deliverance. I think Daryl Johnson even endorses it. So it gives different views on deliverance. I think it is an area that we at some point in time need to work on. So if you're interested, you can have a look at this. And so let's just touch on that for a moment, the two areas of conflict. Doctrine, truth, right? If you believe certain things that are not true, that the Bible says are true, the enemy can exploit that. Anything that is teaching is contrary to God's word. And as I was preparing this, I thought, you know what, we're going to take a moment here just to stop for a moment and actually ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's something for yourself that you're believing that is a lie about who God is, right? So, you know, an example, maybe we struggle with believing God is really good. That's a lie. And if you believe that lie, the enemy can exploit that and do damage to you. So I'm going to just take a moment here to stop and pray. I'm not going to have anybody share. Don't worry. This is for you and you personally, and you can write it down and then bring that to God. You can share it with somebody if you like at some point, but I'm going to just pray for a minute. So Lord, we just ask you, even at this moment, Holy Spirit, that you would speak, that if there is a lie, even today, that we're believing about who you are, Holy Spirit, who you are, Jesus, who you are, God, that you would speak to us, that your truth would come. We just ask in your name. So we'll just take a moment. We'll just take a moment to pause and just listen for a moment, and we'll continue on. Okay, so if something came to mind for you, just, you know, you can think about it, write it down, bring it to God, have somebody you can talk to. You can do it even today when we pray. So it was really nice. I had like even some music accompanying my prayer. It was awesome, right? So the second area of conflict, right, is in our experience, which a lot of times that's rooted in our emotions, which can be related to negative past experience that we've had and maybe haven't dealt with, right? So it happens both here in our heart and our emotions, and some of us have a tendency to function more out of our emotions, and some of us function more out of our intellect. None of us are exclusive in either area, but there can be tendencies, and both of those areas are areas of conflict. On three fronts, right? So when you think of the word front, it's like you think of that like it's like army language, right? The front lines of the army. And so the first one, which is dealt with a little bit in this passage, is the world and the ungodly system. So every culture you go to will have false belief systems embedded in that culture, and those will create pressure on the people of God. So there may be, you know, there can be more than one. There may be several things here in our culture, and then many of you are from different nations. There'll be things in your culture that create pressure on that culture that are contrary to God. And it is, so that is helpful to discern that and to be able to stand against that. And then we talk about the flesh, right? So this is, you know, the Bible tells us to crucify our flesh. There is that process of crucifying our flesh daily to walk that life. And really, a lot of those fleshly desires, so to speak, are literally rooted in your flesh that are not necessarily evil, right? You need food, right? That's not a bad thing. We, you know, God has created the desires in our body, but the enemy and our own struggles will cause us to shift away from God. And so that's a good place to be aware of as well. And then directly, as we're a little bit talking about this more today, is, you know, direct attack and assault from the enemy. A large part of this battle, I would propose, and maybe that varies from person to person, but a large part of that battle starts off in the mind, right? We talk about the battle of the mind. And you have a thought that comes to you, might be a small thought. Depending on the source of that thought, you can start perseverating on it, and it can expand. And so this is where you need to start engaging to have discernment. What is the source of that thought? Is it you? Is it God? Is it the enemy? And you have to ask the Lord for discernment on that. There are some indicators, of course. I thought here again, I was going to, not to do a prayer, but just to touch on the idea of when we go through difficulty, sometimes it's not always the enemy, right? There's God brings us through trials. Sometimes I'll use the language, oh, someone's in the crucible. You ever heard that language, the crucible? You know, and it's a time of refining and God calling to refine us. And that is actually from God. But I would pretty much guarantee that the enemy will try to get in there and elicit a certain kind of response when you're going into a trial, right? So some of it could be a fleshly response. Maybe you react or whatever, something like that goes. Or the enemy will try to bring you down and try to say, well, you're going through this difficulty and this trial because of this and that, right? Accusation, enemy accusations. And so learning to respond to that is also an indicator of how you're doing in terms of a trial. And that is also the place when you're in a trial is to discern what is God trying to teach us. But regardless if something is strictly a trial or an attack of the enemy or it's a trial and the enemy comes, the response actually is pretty much the same in every circumstance. Our response is to turn to Jesus. If you're going through a trial, he's trying to teach you something. Turn to Jesus. If the enemy is attacking you, turn to Jesus. Right? And as we turn to Jesus, you will gain that understanding and discernment. And again, sometimes we need help from one another. So what are some of the things we need to be on guard at? So I wanted to ask you this again. Like there's certain situations, what do you need to be aware of, be on guard on? I'll give you one example, and you can give me some other ones. In places where it's a possibility for you to come under attack, because there's certain situations that can happen that make you more susceptible. So for example, if you're really tired in your body, that's a time when you're vulnerable, right? You can be vulnerable to spiritual attack, right? Okay, some other ones. We can go ahead and shout them out again. Give me a moment so I can repeat.
Hungry,
good. When you're sleeping. Okay, good. I'm going to touch on that after. Go ahead. Yes, Simon put his hand up again. What's that?
When you're hurt.
Physically, emotionally, yes. Hurt. Good. Broad, yeah. When you're sick, very good, yes. When you're angry, that's a good one. That's a good one. Anyone else? When you're bored. Actually, that's a good one. That's a really good one. When you're bored, yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think of that one. When you feel depressed. So yeah, emotionally depressed, those kinds of, yeah, for sure. When, say again?
Underappreciated.
Are you revealing something? Sorry, I had to. Pray for you after. That's a really good one. That's a good one. Anyone else? I missed that. When you're afraid, yeah, fear. Excellent. Good. When you're uncertain, okay. That's a great one. Lonely. Very good. Wow, you guys are good. It's a good class. Good class. So yeah, just to touch, I'll touch on a few of those. Like, yeah, it was mentioned sort of emotionally drained. So that would be one. You had a hard day maybe. We talked about hurt or conflict, not eating well, exercise too sometimes, right? Taking care of our bodies, right? We want to remember that we're fully integrated. And so taking care of our bodies is important. I added one that, and this one's more personal, certain times of the day might be difficult for you. So it's good to be aware of that, and that you might come under some attack in those times, right? And so again, as we're moving into the fall, this is I think if we keep some of these things in mind, it's going to help us as some of you go through Freedom Session, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, that we are in a battle, And God is calling us into deeper places of discipleship. So with that, I wanted to give, there's so many examples. I'll give a general example, and I'll give an example for myself that I experience. A great one is, because probably all of us will have faced this at one point in our life, is around money, right? So if money is tight, maybe you start thinking about that, and the enemy comes and starts planting all of these thoughts, like, you're not going to have enough. You're going to have this, you're going to have that, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So some of the, that's like, to me, those are indicators. If you got all these thoughts coming in, like, for me, it's like a machine gun, right? Got this thought, thought. And then, you know, maybe you're just a little bit stressed about it, and all of a sudden you're just so overwhelmed with stress and fear that you're like, you feel like you're just overwhelmed and you're trapped and you can't get out. Those are some good indicators that it's not just you. That it's the enemy mucking around in there. And if we're, like I say, money will be one that most of us face at one point or another. I think it's part of the reason Jesus talks a fair bit about money, because it brings things to the surface quickly. And so if you start feeling that, start recognizing that, and start coming, where does the enemy not want you to go? To God. Where does God want you to go? To Him. Bring those things, because He cares for you, right? For me, it's happening less now, but there was a season for quite a while where Trish mentioned it. It's when you're asleep, I actually would be waking up in the middle of the night. I wake up at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm stressed. I'm anxious. And so I don't know about you all, but when I'm in bed at 2 or 3 in the morning, the last thing I want to do is get up, right? I just kind of just want to try to get back to sleep. And I'm sure I've been there like for a couple hours, not wanting to get up, and I'm just anxious, and I got these thoughts going around. Do you ever have the ones that go like, they go in a circle? Is it just me? It goes in a circle, it's the same thing, or it's a situation or whatever. It could be a situation or an issue like the money, or it's, and it's just going around. And then anxiety increases, and you lose a bunch of sleep. Eventually, you get to sleep maybe, or you get up in the morning and you're exhausted, right? So if that kind of happens, I would chalk that as being, you know, sort of a successful attack. Now, if I'm kind of a little bit more in tune and aware, what I'll do is I'll actually get up. I'll get up out of bed, and I'll go pray. And I'll just start bringing it to God. And for me, because, you know, I've had like some past issues around anxiety and stress, and have received some healing, I also believe that God has given me a certain amount of freedom in this area of anxiety. And so I start declaring, I say, no, anxiety is not my inheritance. That is not my inheritance. And I tell it to leave, and I declare that peace is my inheritance. And yes, there is sometimes a wrestling with like this spiritual battle, and some of it's the flesh that you gotta fight, but eventually the peace comes back. That's been my experience. So what was the issue for me? So I said, we need to be familiar where our areas of attack come against us. So for me, there was that season where waking up in the middle of the night, there was times I would say, ah, it's you, eh? All right, here we go. I didn't quite say showtime, but kind of, you know, it's like, all right, again, I don't know, some of you have maybe read Smith Wigglesworth. He talks about stories like that of just having like encounters with the enemy. But he was so secure that he'd just ignore it because he was so secure. And we're going to touch on that a little bit too. If we can go to the next slide, slide 4. It says in Ephesians 4, 25 and 26. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Somebody touched on that. Oh, it was good. And do not give the devil a foothold. So this is something important to touch on, right? It talks about giving the enemy a foothold. So again, you know, like there's maybe something in your life where the enemy might be a foothold. So I won't define this too much, but go ahead. What are some footholds that you have that you maybe have seen, maybe have experienced, maybe not? What are some enemy footholds in people's lives? Thoughts. Say again. Thoughts. Okay. Okay, what do you mean by that, by thoughts? Like if there's like a consistent thought that you have? Okay, got you. Perseverating. Excellent. Good. Yeah, that makes sense. Anything else? Unforgiveness. We're going to talk more about that. That's a huge one. Simon had his hand up again, so he gets to go next. Addictions. Excellent. Yeah, that's a hard one, right?
Past sins.
Yes. Pride. Heard pride. Sorry. Friendships. What do you mean by that? Okay, so like maybe some unhealthy friendships more? Okay, yeah. So I hope I'm not a foothold in your life. He's going to rebuke me. Anything else? Yes, Trish.
Fear.
Fear, yes. That's right. Yes, Simon.
Resentment.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a big one.
Distrust.
Excellent.
Okay.
Offense. Yeah.
Vows.
Oh, doubt. Doubt. But vows is actually a good one too. Yeah, there's some of us who've made, may not even be aware, you've made some in internal vows. I will never do this. Yeah. .. Right? So excellent. Those are great. So I mentioned like a broader, trauma experience from a rejection. And so when you have a foothold, like think of that. If you're thinking on a mountain, when you're climbing up a mountain, you want to have a place to put your foot, right? So that like a little, it doesn't have to be big. It can be, depending on your ability to climb, it can be a small little ledge that you can hold onto that mountain. Think of it in that manner. But I did want to touch on one that was brought up early, is unforgiveness. Because I think this is one of the biggest and most powerful. If you're not forgiving somebody, you've automatically got a foothold, I would propose. And you're deceived as well. Why? Because you believe for some reason you think it's not a good idea to forgive. It might even look good on the surface, right? But it's not biblical. If you're harboring unforgiveness, and I get it, there's some people that are maybe hard to forgive. I understand that. I've been there. And if you're having trouble with forgiving, ask God to help, and maybe you ask people to walk you through that. It is something that we will be addressing in Freedom Session. Why is it important to walk in forgiveness? Well, there's all kinds of reasons. I mean, besides Jesus saying, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you type of thing, but that's, I'm not going to touch on that. But unforgiveness, in the end, will damage your soul. It will damage your soul, and the enemy... It's not that he can, he will. I guarantee you, the enemy will exploit that to create more damage. If you think of let's say you're trying to get into somewhere and there's just this little crevice. It's not big, it's just this little crevice. The enemy will get in there and widen that and make it bigger and make it worse. You have to deal with that kind of stuff. And I get it, I know it's hard. So, okay, that's enough. There's always a danger when you talk about this is like you're focusing too much on the enemy. So let's transition. Let's shift gears, because I have good news. You have not been left helpless. You have been given weapons that you can access those weapons. A couple of those weapons are, one, knowing who your God is and knowing your identity in Christ. And four weapons or tools, if you prefer using the word tools, is the Word of God, prayer, worship, we're going to say musical worship, and the body of Christ, right? Remember talking about being isolated as a tactic? And as a reminder, the main place the enemy does not want you to go, there's only one thing he really doesn't want you to do, is to go to God. Anything else is fine, right? If it's an addiction or whatever it may be, anything else is fine. As long as you don't go to God, that's what he wants you to do. He does not want you to go to God. And so we're gonna spend a bit of time in the Word of God as one of those weapons which confronts the lies of the enemy, right? That's a part of what the Word of God does. It tells us the truth of who God is, of who we are, and that's one of the reasons it's so important to spend time in the Word and be anchored in the Word. It's not about like memorizing scripture. It's about having these things in your heart and your soul so you know who God is and who you are. So if we want to go to the next slide, the Romans 8:1. Yeah, we got a couple there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So I wanted to start with that one, because maybe sometimes we're talking about these things and you're like, oh, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with that. Oh man, the enemy's got me. You know what? First of all, the truth is, because you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Zero. None. If you're experiencing condemnation, shame, and all of those things, that is not from God. That is from the enemy. You are not condemned. The power of Jesus, the death and resurrection, and being filled with the Spirit is greater than the enemy. Greater. You are not condemned. So let any of that be wiped off. And not only that, but the law, you know, that law of sin and death, you have been set free of that. And I understand that there's like a process in that as well. But you are in the process of being set free. I would wager, I guess I shouldn't wager, I shouldn't make bets, but I would wager that if I talk to every one of you, I would wager that you're not the same person you were 5 years ago. That God is working in your life and you're becoming more free. There's a weight on us, right? And that weight needs to lift off, because we know who God is and that you are being set free. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That would be a sermon right there. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Your identity, you are new. You are a new creation. The old is gone. We declare that you are a new creation. These truths help us to guard us. And if it's like, if you're struggling with some of these things, that's like, take these scriptures and meditate on it and take time to pray over it and ask God to make it real. Next slide, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is another one that's really important. We offer ourselves. So we use the word surrender. We put our place in a place of surrender, because we're surrendering ourselves to a good God. And we look to being transformed by our minds being renewed, right? So part of that, we talked about the thoughts that come in, right? It's been talked several times. Part of the tactic for us to grow in that is that our minds be renewed. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like those thoughts just get in, and I'm actually not even almost aware that those thoughts are coming in. It's on cruise control or something like that. And so our awareness of those thoughts is one of the places to start, and asking God to help us with that transformation of our minds. Next slide. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Isn't that a fantastic scripture? You have a hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know his power, the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is accessible to you. I don't even know how to like contextualize that. Like, I don't understand that power. But there's a power there that God has made available for you. And remembering and knowing his kingship. He is the king. The power of God, and that he is king. Next slide. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Right? The call, you can be strong in the Lord. As you look to him, be strong. And this is an important one, that our struggle is not against people. I think sometimes it's hard, right? Because if we're having conflict with a person, we're like, oh, that person, Well, you know what? There's an element of that it's not actually that person, that there's a spiritual battle going on there, and that God wants to bring division, especially in the body of Christ, right? And so we need to learn to stand against that kind of stuff. And we can, I'm not reading through the, you know, this passage talks about the armor of God. That's another passage that's great to walk through and apply that to our lives. Okay, one more passage. There's so many passages we could go through, but one more. Next slide, please. Thank you. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Right? So New King James Version says a spirit of fear, right? The Spirit of God has and is and will continue to fill you so that you've been given power, love, and self-discipline. Sometimes, I've been in situations where it's like, oh, okay, this is like literal. I'm trying not to eat too much sugar, and so I see the cookie there. And it's just like, just impulse, right? I know, I just want to eat that cookie, right? Like, I don't know, I'm fairly impulsive. Some of you know me, I'm like, I'm pretty impulsive. And I'm like, I just want to eat that cookie. And I'm like, sometimes I just do, I just eat it. Yeah, but other times, they'll be like, no, I stopped for a moment. I said, no, God has given me a spirit of self-control. And so I need to exercise that. It's not passive. It's not just going to happen. I have to access that. And so I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that's where I feel I'm weak. I'm not accessing that. I'm still just acting on impulse. And then I look at the end of the day and it's like, oh, I ate 4 bags of chips. No, I haven't eaten 4 bags. I don't think I've ever done that, but too many, anyways. I'll stop there before I reveal too much about myself. So as we come to an end here, I actually thought this was going to be a short sermon. Oh, well, it's not. Anyways, sorry. The four things. So I remind us again. The word, right? So we talked a little bit about, we actually went through a bit of the word. Prayer. So I've got a prayer that I'm going to read. We're going to go back to worship. Musical worship. That's warfare, right? And then afterwards, there's ministry time. So if you need prayer today, something is touching you, something you're feeling, maybe you're feeling under attack, you need some discernment, we can do that. If there's, you know, an extended time you need, we can talk about that as well. There's extended prayer opportunities. I also created a little, I have some notes just on the scriptures. I have that quote from this book. On the side there, I've made some copies. If we run out, we can make a few more copies, but there's like 10 copies there. So if you want to have that as a cheat sheet to educate yourself or to just have those scriptures all on one page, you can grab that afterwards. I was mentioning to one of the life group leaders, like, hey, it'd be like a great source for life group leaders as well. So as we conclude this part, this message and go back to worship, I've written up a prayer. I'm just going to pray it over us. And then actually the band, you guys can come on up. That would be great. All right, let's pray. Lord, we give thanks for your goodness. We declare that there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus, and that you are setting us free to live the abundant life. We declare that you have made us new creations, and the old is gone. We offer ourselves again as living sacrifices belonging to you and ask for your help to no longer conform to the patterns of this world and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray that the eyes of our hearts may be opened so that we may know the hope we are called to. May that same power that raised Jesus from the dead be at work in us. We declare that you, King Jesus, are above all, and all things are under your rule and reign. So may we be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We acknowledge that our battle is not against people, and we stand against the enemy's schemes in our lives, in this church, and in this city. You, Christ Jesus, have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Help us to walk in that place. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.